to new. Let's sing "There's No Doubt About It, I Know I'm Saved." You know that tonight? Say amen.
I trust
Amen.
do, amen. I've been my boss for about a year and a half now. Just do what he says, amen. This old world is filled with disappointment and trouble every day. Many times I get discouraged and I almost lose my way. Then I remember I'm just a pilgrim in this troubled world below. That's the reason I keep singing as I go.
Sings here, but I just want to tell you a little story. This is my part in this song. This missionary had spent his whole lifetime in Africa, and he finally, well, he had buried his wife and his children there in Africa, and he came by ship home on the same boat that Teddy Roosevelt came home on from a safari, shooting wild animals there and bringing home trophies. And when they docked in New York Harbor, the band was there. The people were gathered to welcome the President of the United States home with band and all the festivities. And finally it was his turn to leave the ship. Nobody was there to meet him. And he got a horse, a carriage, rented a horse and carriage to take his luggage to a dingy little room. And he sat there on that little couch in that bedroom and said, "It's a shame, Lord. I've been over there all these years. Buried my precious wife and children and served you there in Africa all these years. And there is no one to greet me when I got home. But the President had all that festivity going on for him. He heard God whisper, 'Son, you're not home yet.'"
There's a land filled with milk and honey just waiting for me. Someday Jesus will come and take me over the sea. Then I must keep watching and waiting in this troubled world below. There's one thought that keeps me singing as I go. Long to be with Jesus.
Peg.
Yes.
Oh, that's my bottle, yeah. Thank you. He wanted me to leave that here. I really appreciate my family. I was telling the preacher in the office before church that I made a covenant with God when I was just a young man. I got married way back in 1948. My first wife, she died of cancer in 1975. And anyway, I knelt there. I said to her, before we go to bed for the first time, there was no hanky-panky before marriage back in those days. And anyway, I said, before our bodies make contact, let's ask God to give us children. And I said, made a prayer, I can't remember verbatim, but I'm just akin to this. Lord, I love you, and my wife, Winifred, we love you both, love you. And we want to serve you all the days of our life. And I don't ask any pay for my service to you, but all I'd ask is that you'd give us children and that they in turn would serve you all the days of their life. Well, you know, first thing you know, we had a child, Timothy. Some of you know my boy, oldest boy, Tim. And then the six children came into that union. And one by one they got saved. And one by one they all were called into the full-time Christian service. And my daughter Mary died on the mission field. My son Steve just died a couple of years ago. He was my assistant pastor for 42 years. And all the other, and now the children, the children's children. I'm talking about grandbabies. I have eight grandchildren in the ministry, boys in the ministry. And I have three grand girls married to preachers. And I even got great grandchildren entering into the ministry. I want to tell you that God is a covenant keeping God. And you can commit whatever you want to commit to Him. And if you do your part, He's surely going to do His. And I just, my kids sang here, I'm just proud of them. And I know that you don't think that I'm cocky or smart aleck about it. I'm just grateful to God for it. Can I say, I'm glad to be here and to have an invitation to come and speak at this place and be with all of these good preachers. I think I said this before, but I feel like everybody's done such a good job up until now. I hope I don't strike out is all I... But I say, I heard about a fellow that was in the Johnstown flood up in Pennsylvania. And it was a terrible flood years ago. And he after the flood was over, he went into civic groups and churches and wherever he could and told the story of the Johnstown flood. Well, when he got to heaven, when he died, he said, Lord, if sometime here in heaven you'd let me tell about the Johnstown flood, he said, I'd be grateful. He said, all right, right after Noah. And that's about the way I feel about this. I know that 81% of the people that die in bed. So I've been sleeping on the floor late. Somebody said, you can always tell when you're getting old. It's when your knees buckle and your belt doesn't. I don't know. It's something. I'm just grateful to be able to be around yet. And I'm not as old as Brother Thompson, but I'm crowding him. And I wanted to thank Brother Terry for inviting me and Brother Crowell inviting me to come and speak. And I want to speak on a subject tonight that will not go over as good as anything else because it's right up against. We used to know a preacher. His name was Jack Woods. Him and I were great friends. Jack said, the reason that most people don't read the Bible because 75% of it is against you. See, that didn't go over at all. You just start reading that book, it'll take the hide right off from you. And my message tonight is, I've asked God, and He's going to let me preach on the flesh tonight. Not in the flesh, but on the flesh. And it's, let me take my text from Matthew 26, verse 41. Please, Lord, help me. And I love you for it and appreciate it. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now we're going to talk about the flesh. We're not talking about flesh like this. That is flesh. But when the spiritual part of this, the scriptural part, it's talking about the old Adamic nature. That old man. That carnal man. That human part of us that we're never going to get rid of until we die. And it says in our text that it's weak. And I'm going to take my text here. And what I'm going to attempt to do is to take the word flesh, F-L-E-S-H, make an acrostic out of that, and just use the letters as a sort of guide point for each little point that I have tonight. I feel like one subject that I feel like I'm an authority on is flesh, because I've got so much of it. And I've had such a fight in my life trying to put it down, trying to let God run my life. I would say the greatest foe that I have is my own Adamic nature, my own rotten, wicked, ungodly flesh. I know it's the greatest fight that I have to control it. I think about if there is a struggle, it's with Don Green, not with anybody else, as much as my own rotten flesh. Whether you like to hear it or not, you personally are rotten to the core. You didn't like that, did you? But you read the Bible, and it'll make sure that you understand that your flesh is rotten, wicked. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit His Spirit. First of all, let me say that the flesh is fruitless. That's the F. It is the Spirit. This is John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. There's no spirituality about the flesh. There is no spiritual fruit ever comes from the flesh. It's fruitless. It's profitless. Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. So when it comes to the work of the Lord, things that are done in the flesh come to nothing. I know you have got big ideas, and you young preachers, and I'm not against knocking on doors and visiting and winning souls. But except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You go out here in your own flesh and your own humble desire to do the great work for God, it'll never be accomplished in the flesh. I'm really an old-time preacher. I believe there are two commissions. First was, but tarry at Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, and then go into all the world and preach the gospel. You're going to have to get on top of this thing. So when it comes to the work of the Lord, things that are done in the flesh come to nothing. I asked the preacher if I could preach until the hour. And I'm going to endeavor. I'm going to not say any more. That'll leave that for the F. And the L comes right along after that. The flesh is lustful. If you would read with me in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery. You know what adultery is? Basically, adultery is extramarital sex. It's stepping out of the marriage bond and having relationship with somebody besides your husband or your wife. And it's hated by God. And then it says the next word is fornication. Fornication basically is premarital sex. To fool around and play peekaboo and whatever else you do, it's against God to have premarital sex. See, that didn't go over too good. There's nobody running the aisles talking about stuff like that. Then he went on to say, this is the works of the flesh, is adultery, fornication, uncleanness. Well, it simply means dirty talk, dirty mind, dirty jokes, and dirty heart. And then lasciviousness. That's the next work of the flesh. And that's anything that provokes sex, provokes immorality, is lasciviousness. That's like the damnable television. It's like this. It has a little bit to do with the internet. It has a little bit to do with the stuff you buy over at the store where they sell CDs and whatever. It's, I tell you, I don't know if you understand this or not. You wonder what's behind all of this filth that's in this world. Do you read your Bible? In the latter part of the Bible is the book of Revelation. And it says that in the 16th chapter that these frog-like spirits, frog-like, frogs are things that live in the quagmire, that live and leave a slimy scum as they go down through their trail. They are unclean. That makes you feel bad. They're like frog legs. But it's a reptile. It's wicked. Now, I'm saying this. Now, you don't have to agree with me. But they're unclean spirits like frogs. Unclean spirit. And it says that it makes fornication with the kings and the princes and the big shots and the CEOs and everybody else that are involved in this world's troubles. You can't get away from it, but it is so severe with homosexuality and all sorts of corruption and immorality with the adultery and with also fornication amongst the leaders of our world tonight. I'm not going to get into that, but it is a great truth. Less idolatry. You know, idolatry comes along with this. It deals with demonic powers. You know, say, I would never worship an idol. What would you gain by doing so? Well, talk to those that worship them. The demons have fellowship with people that worship idols. And they get back as you would pray to God, and they pray to these idols. These idols speak to them, too. They're demons. Oh, Donald, I got to shut up. But boy, I'd like to just rip the cover off the whole thing. But it's all involved in immorality and corruption. This is the work of the flesh. It's lustful. It's hatred, bitterness. It's variance. It's arguing and quarreling. The biggest fights that most come to married couples is over sex. I'm saying things I probably shouldn't say. It talks about variance, emulation, hero worship. Emulate trying to be somebody that you're not. Emulating somebody, some Hollywood whore, whatever it may be. And wrath and sedition and strife and heresies and endings and murders and drunkenness and reveling. Talk about partying and wickedness. You can't get away from this idea that the flesh is lustful. I don't know if you like. Doesn't seem like nobody's saying amen. It was said by James chapter 1, verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. First comes the thought, then comes the strong imagination of that thought, and then comes the delight in those thinkings and even imaginations, and then comes the consent. Don't say the devil made me do it. God said you did it. The flesh is lustful. That's why good preachers preach against going to the picture shows. That's why they preach against boys and girls petting and kissing and hugging and holding hands. Good preachers do that yet. That's why good preachers preach against pornography and punk rock. Punk rock is mischievous with its lustful thoughts, putting it into your brain, what all sorts of things, and public bathing beaches. Good preachers still preach against those things. And even preach against pants on women. I was preaching in Ireland, and I said women ought not to wear pants. But I didn't know that over there they call panties pants. And I was telling women ought not to be wearing underwear. Now that was... Good preachers preach against publishing of bad books and promoting of the television and the VCR. VCR stands for very closely related with the television. Only you get what you want over at the Blockbuster. I don't know how any born-again Christian could conscientiously sit in front of the television and watch men and women make love in a bed and call that Christian entertainment. You are a sick person. I say, when I'm talking about the flesh, it is so lustful. It is so weak. You say, not me, I'm tough. Oh, you're not so tough. The greatest people in the Bible, Job, you know, it was the first book of the Bible. Job is the first book of the Bible. And he said, I abhor myself. That's what Job said about himself. And he also said, behold, I am evil. And Isaiah said, woe is me, because I am a man of unclean lips. The Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian ever lived, said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Even the Apostle Peter, he said on occasion, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. So you think you're pretty high in the status quo. But we all are, listen to me, rotten. You're talking about you. You are rotten to the core. Your old flesh is so weak. I say you don't like that, but it's your flesh is too weak to please God. It's too weak to serve God. It is too weak to overcome temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but your flesh is weak. Oh, we're talking about the lust of the flesh. We're talking about the flesh is fruitless. It's lustful. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Your flesh is depraved. Your flesh is deceitful. Your flesh is defiled. Your flesh is defiant and stubborn and rebellious. Your flesh is determined to control your life. It's so destructive to spirituality. It's so demanding. It demands you to obey it. And it's so damning. You understand this a little bit, that when you got saved, the flesh controlled your life. You had no Spirit of God in you. When you got born again, the Spirit of God came and indwelt in your body, took up His throne on your heart, but it invaded what was already there with your old carnal, rotten, rebellious flesh. And that flesh hated the Spirit, fought against God, and goes on and on. You know what I'm talking about. I think you do. If you've ever tried to live a holy life, and I don't mean to be super spiritual, but that's all I've got in my mind, is to live a pure, holy, godly, separated, consecrated life. But it's a struggle. So, Brother Green, you're 87 years old. Don't tell me that I'm going to... It just gets worse. It never lets up. Your flesh wants to run in control. The Holy Spirit said, I want to sit upon the throne of your heart. Flesh says, no, you're not going to. And the battle is on inside your breast. And your flesh is so unfaithful. You can't trust it. You give it an inch, it'll take a mile. It's so unpredictable. It is so unreliable. Paul said, have no confidence in the flesh. It is unscrupulous. Your flesh is capable of doing anything that anybody else has ever done. Oh, said, I'm a Christian, a born-again Christian. I know you're a born-again Christian. But born-again Christians murder people. Oh, well... They do all sorts of dastardly, wicked, ungodly things. That old human nature is such a wicked part of us, it'll rob you. It's so unmerciful. It's like a brute beast living inside of you. It's uncontrollable at times. Your flesh is uncontrollable at times. You lose it. You might even get mad. You might say things you wish you never would have said. But that's a part of this wicked flesh that is so weak, so ungodly. It'll rob you of all the peace that God wants to give you. All the your position in the realms of Christianity. It'll rob you of your power with God. It'll rob you of your privileges in prayer. It'll rob you of your prophets and nothing. It'll rob you of your purity. First thing you know, you'll be lusting and allowing your body to do things that are so unscrupulous for a Christian to do. It'll rob you of all your possibilities. It is so weak It is so wicked. It is so wild. It is so wanton that's loosened. It is so wavering up and down, in and out. It is so wayward. I'm just trying to be nice, but I told you it wasn't going to be one of those sermons that you'll remember forever. But it is a truth. This old flesh is rotten, wicked. I'm talking about you. You're so beautiful and so pretty and so handsome. And you're decked out in your finest here tonight in the church. And don't anybody tell you that you're not all that you think you are. But you're not what you think you are. You don't understand. If you ever make any progress with God, you'll realize how wicked you really are. You're not going to go very far with God until you get to the place where you realize you got to do something about this flesh. Not only is the flesh, first of all, profitless or fruitless, it's lustful. Thirdly, it's the enemy of God, the Holy Spirit. I'm reading from Romans 8:7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. That means your flesh, this carnal flesh, is an enemy of God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse 13 says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. I say it's your flesh. This old Adamic nature opposes God. It opposes the Bible. It don't want you to read the Bible. It opposes holiness. You don't want to be holy and live pure and godly. I'm sorry. That's that flesh inside of you. It opposes preaching. It opposes witnessing, passing out tracts. It opposes praying. The flesh, that old Adamic nature, is enmity against God. It hates God. Do you believe it? Inside of you is some kind of a form that hates God. Fighting against God. Right on the inside of your body. The flesh is that internal enemy of God. The world is the extemporary, the external enemy of God. And the devil is the infernal enemy of God. I want to just give you this thought. In 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. One of the nicest things I ever learned was that there is power over the power. You don't have to let your rotten, low-down, wicked flesh control your life. The Apostle Paul told us to crucify it. Put it to death. He said, I don't know. Well, please listen to me. I know this is not a great message, but it's what God told me to preach. Paul said this in Romans 7:15. For that what I do I allow not. For what I would that I do not. But what I hate that I do, If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now there is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not do that I do. Now if I do that I would not, there is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And it goes on and on and on and on. Paul said, sin shall not have dominion over you. That is, it shouldn't control you. Have you ever thought, people, about getting out of the sinning business and stop your sinning? You said, now you're preaching sinless perfection. Oh, Balashevik. You're not going to get away from sin. The only way you can live above sin is to get an apartment above a beer joint. You're going to have trouble in this old world. How much sin, though, do you think you ought to allow in your life? A little cussing, a little swearing, a little dirt, a little filth, a little immorality. How much sin do you think you ought to allow in your heart? Get out of sinning business. Quit sinning. Oh, say, I can't do that. Well, why don't you try it? How much should you allow in your home? Just a little beer in the icebox, refrigerator. Just a little sin in the dining room. A little sin maybe in the bathroom. Or maybe a little sin in the den, whatever. How much sin do you suppose we ought to allow at church? How much sin in the choir? How much sin in the pews? How much sin in the pulpit? I think you ought to get out of the sinning business. When you get, listen to me, if you don't hate sin, you're not through with it. When you get through with sin, you'll hate it! Because it takes away that which you've been longing for. It soils your soul. It sickens your body. It scars your life. It separates you from God. It sears the conscience. It sours the soul. And it shortens your life. How much dirty talk? How much dirty jokes? How many dirty pictures? How much devilish television? How much VCR? How much internet? How much dancing? How much demon-inspired rock music ought you listen to? How much drinking? How much drugs? Oh, shut up, Don. I get tired of preaching against sin so much. But if you don't preach against it, it keeps cropping up worse and worse and worse. We're talking tonight about the flesh. How that the flesh, that inside old human nature of ours, how wicked it is. We're talking about the lustfulness. We're talking about being enemy. And fourthly, I'm going to be through in just a minute. We're at F-L-E-S. Flesh is sentenced to die. This is the scripture, Hebrews 9:27. For as it is appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. You can just thank God for death. I used to have a friend of mine whose favorite saying was, cheer up, children, you'll soon be dead. And when you're dead, you're going to be through with that monster. But just as sure as I'm standing here, from dust thou art, and from dust thou shalt return. And I know where we are. Paul said it for you. We ourselves groan within us, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. This old subtle, suffering, sensitive, selfish, sinful, self-righteous, stubborn flesh that's like a ball and chain around our neck. When we get raptured out of here, or when we get resurrected out of here, it'll all be gone. It's sentenced to death. And lastly, the flesh is hopeless. And when I say it's hopeless, no flesh and blood is ever going to get to heaven. I'm reading from 1 Corinthians 15 and 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Paul said, no flesh shall glory in his presence. As beautiful and handsome and lovely and sweet and kind you are, you're not going to take this carcass to heaven. Flesh cannot make it to heaven. That which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is of the Spirit is spirit. God will not receive your body, your fleshly body. You cannot reform it, and you can't make it to heaven. Flesh and blood does not enter into heaven. My time is up. I was going to give an illustration, but I think I'll just read my little poem that I wrote in closing. I call it, This Flesh of Mine. My stubborn will has cost me sore. This flesh of mine is rotten to the core. It has robbed me of peace that God has wanted to give and hindered me from living the life that He wants me to live. There's no telling spiritually where I would be today if I wouldn't have let my flesh have its way. It's denied me a power that I long to possess and caused much of my life to be such a mess. The privileges in prayer that I should have enjoyed, my flesh has caused those prayers to be null and void. Again, I say there is no telling where I would be if I wouldn't have allowed my flesh to get the best of me. Oh, the things done in the flesh profit nothing, Paul said. And so this flesh needs to be crucified until it's dead. So I can live pure and clean and have power with God all the days of my life while I live on this sod. Oh, Lord, help me to overcome this rotten flesh of mine until my life truly with You is entwined. For I love You more than I could ever tell. I'm so sorry I've allowed my flesh to so rebel. Please subdue this stubborn will inside of me and allow me, Lord, Spirit-filled to Thee. I struggled with this. You don't. Well, I do. I've struggled with my flesh all of my life. When I was 26 years old, I finally surrendered. I gave up and gave in to God, lock, stock, barrel, totally, unconditionally took my hands off my life and asked Him to forgive me and wash me. And I confessed every wicked, rotten sin that I had ever, that I could remember I ever did. And the Spirit brought to my mind, and I reached way down into the depths of my soul and ripped it all up by the roots. I didn't want anything left but to empty the vessel so God could fill it. And I made a prayer to God, and He filled me with the power of God about 60 years ago. I'm going to sing my little song, and you'll recognize that I can't sing, but this is a song. Many years I longed for rest, perfect peace within my breast. And I often sought the Lord alone in tears, but I would not pay the price, would not make the sacrifice. So I wandered on and on for many years. Let me lose myself and find it, Lord, in Thee. May all self be slain, my friends, see only Thee. Though it costs me grief and pain, I will find my life again. If I lose myself, I'll find it, Lord, in Thee. Then one day while bowed in prayer, Jesus whispered to me there, take my cross and follow me to Calvary. Oh, how hard it was to die, an old self to crucify, just to lose myself and find it, Lord, in Thee. I'm going to sing the chorus. Let's all stand. Let's stand. And I'm going to sing. And if you'd like to come and kneel here, you may do so. Let me lose myself and find it, Lord, in Thee. May all self be slain, my friends, see only Thee. Though it cost me grief and pain, I will find my life again. If I lose myself, I'll find it, Lord, in Thee. Thank you. Pastor, would you come and take this? I'm going to make a prayer for you. Oh, Father, these dear people that are gathered around the altar, may You bless them, Lord, and encourage them to take their hands off from their life and to surrender their life, lock, stock, barrel, teetotally, unconditionally. Put You first in their life and stop serving their rotten, wicked, ungodly flesh. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank You.